From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua. In chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, we find the account of the Gibeonites, a Canaanite people who, seeking to escape the fate of the other heathen inhabitants of the land, came to Joshua with a false claim that they lived in a far-off country and had traveled many days to seek refuge with the army of Israel. As Dr. Cairns explained in his introduction to the message, these people embodied both the good and the bad, which is often part of our lives. They lied about their true homeland, and yet they recognized that Joshua and his people were servants of the true and living God. In a message called Lessons for Life on Seeking the Lord, Dr. Cairns is extracting important instruction for God's people from the experience of Joshua and the Gibeonites. The first lesson is that sinners under condemnation show great wisdom in seeking God. Then, as the passage illustrates, sinners who seek the Lord need not fear being rejected. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, it was the grace of God that drew the pagan Gibeonites to seek the Lord. So it is with every sinner. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Genesis chapter 39, verse 12. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In contending with certain sins, there remains no mode of victory but by flight. The ancient naturalists wrote much of basilisks, whose eyes fascinated their victims and rendered them easy victims. So the mere gaze of wickedness puts us in solemn danger. He who would be safe from acts of evil must haste away from the occasions of it. A covenant must be made with our eyes, not even to look upon the cause of temptation, for such sins only need a spark to begin with, and a blaze follows in an instant. Who would wantonly enter the leper's prison and sleep amid its horrible corruption? He only who desires to be leprous himself would thus court contagion. If the mariner knew how to avoid a storm, he would do anything rather than run the risk of weathering it. Cautious pilots have no desire to try how near the quicksand they can sail, or how often they may touch a rock without springing a leak. Their aim is to keep as nearly as possible in the midst of a safe channel. This day I may be exposed to great peril. Let me have the serpent's wisdom to keep out of it and avoid it. The wings of a dove may be of more use to me today than the jaws of a lion. It is true I may be an apparent loser by declining evil company, but I'd better leave my cloak than lose my character. It is not needful that I should be rich, but it is imperative upon me to be pure. No ties of friendship, no chains of beauty, no flashings of talent, no shafts of ridicule must turn me from the wise resolve to flee from sin. The devil I am to resist, and he will flee from me. But the lust of the flesh I must flee, or they will surely overcome me. O God of holiness, preserve thy Josephs, that Madam Bubble bewitch them not with her vile suggestions. May the horrible trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil never overcome us.
I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so
anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna love so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime.
Oh, anywhere, Lord, anytime.
Oh, I'm gonna see.
Oh, I'm gonna see.
What is it that constitutes a revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America, associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. That is true in the affairs of nations. Politicians would do well to make that text one of their motto texts while they're in office. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But if it's true of nations, how much more true is it of the individual in his relationship to the Almighty? Wisdom is better than going to war against your God. Wisdom is better than rebellion against God and His Son and His salvation. Job 28, verse 28 puts it plainly, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And as the same chapter tells us, the price of that wisdom is above rubies, for it leads to salvation. And the salvation of the soul is more precious than all the gems and all the gold and all the silver of the world. The Lord Jesus said in Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In other words, if you weigh the value of one soul, especially if you weigh the value of your soul, it is more valuable than all the riches of the world combined. And here then is true wisdom. The wisdom that says, away with enmity with God, an end to rebellion against God. Put away the weapons of warfare against God and His Son, His gospel, and His salvation. The greatest wisdom is in the fear and faith of the gospel to get right with God. I wonder if you ever really grasped that truth. I wonder, has that ever really gripped your heart? You know, sinners today are every bit as much devoted to destruction as the nations of ancient Canaan. There's a picture here. Can you see these people sitting in their land? And they hear Joshua is coming, and he's coming in judgment. Can you imagine how they felt? Some of them would realize, we are right in the front line, and the time of reckoning is certainly near at hand. Others may comfort themselves, well, we're many miles away. We have yet time to think of something. But oh, how quickly those miles would be eaten up. Let me tell you, sinners today are equally condemned. And the news is of another Joshua. Remember, Joshua is simply the Hebrew form of the Greek name Jesus. There is another Joshua, a greater Joshua, with a greater army, and he is coming with a greater judgment. Some of you may feel that time is passing. You're not as young as you used to be, and you're yet without Christ. It's right that you feel you are right in the front line. The day of reckoning is near at hand. Others may feel, well, I'm yet young. I'm like those nations that are far away from the armies of Joshua. But oh, my friend, the time for them all was very, very brief. Today I would tell you, it is time to seek the Lord. The Gibeonites, for all their follies, had one brief opportunity, and they laid hold of it with both hands, and they saved their lives. Today, you don't only have an opportunity, you have an invitation. This greater Joshua sends messengers of peace, messengers of grace, invitations that you would come and be delivered. I wonder today what your response would be. Are you still in this meeting, still without Christ? Still rebelling still rejecting, still denying God's right to call you to repentance, still full of unbelief and wickedness? Oh, today the call is, lay down the arms of rebellion. Remember again the words of Solomon, wisdom is better than the weapons of war. Of course, the world has another message. It's the same message as it had for Gibeon. Come, throw in your lot with us. Let us make a confederacy. Let us stand against God and His truth and His purpose and His people. The world would come to you with such a message. It would come with tones of deception. On the other hand, if deception doesn't work, it will come with coercion. They tried that with the Gibeonites, as we'll see as we proceed in Joshua. They tried coercion. But whether the world, by deception or coercion, would draw you into its web of antagonism to Christ, as you love your soul, repudiate their folly. Learn this much from the ancient Gibeonites. If you learn nothing else, learn this much. Repudiate the folly that would drag you into warfare against your God. Seek the Lord. Proverbs 1 tells us, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Goes on to say, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. And what does she say? She says, turn you at my reproof. With this promise, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. That's the call of true wisdom. Now, if you're still without Christ, learn that your need is great. Your situation is desperate. Your time is short. And if ever anybody needed to take the words of Isaiah to heart, it's every unconverted person under the sound of my voice. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Sinners under condemnation show the greatest wisdom by seeking the Lord. But can I make another observation, a lesson we can learn here? And it's this, that sinners seeking the Lord have no cause to fear being rejected. This is one of the most precious truths in the Bible. Sinners who seek the Lord have no cause to fear being rejected. The Gibeonites erred. Instead of coming in a manly fashion, they came with deception and craftiness, and in that we censure them. But they erred because they doubted their reception. They wondered what would happen if we come out straight away and lay down our arms and sue for peace. Maybe we'll all be slaughtered. Maybe our entreaties will be rejected. Those were their fears, but their fears were groundless. When you stop to think of it, the book of Joshua, I think, makes this very clear. These people were unlike the other nations. Not that they were less sinful, for they were just as sinful. But for some reason, their hearts were not hardened like the rest to oppose Joshua and the people of Israel. And that is a matter of grace. Over in Joshua chapter 11, this comes out very clearly. Verse 19 and 20. We read, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. Now watch this carefully. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that He might destroy them utterly, that they might have no favor, but that He might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. These other people had been given up by God. It was of the Lord to harden their hearts. People wonder, how can God harden anybody's heart? Let me tell you, God doesn't need to do anything to harden anybody's heart except withdraw the supernatural graces that soften hearts. He doesn't need to add anything. It all only takes the Lord to withdraw the supernatural grace that would otherwise soften a sinner. And that sinner will become inveterately hard in his sin. Now, look at these nations. They were all hardened. It was of the Lord. He did not do anything to soften them. But how do you explain Gibeon then? They were just as sinful. It was of grace that their hearts were softened. Pure grace. Let me tell you, it is always grace that softens a sinner's heart. If today your heart is softened to the things of God, if today your heart is stirred to have an interest in the things of God, if today your heart is moved to embrace the things of God, that in itself is a mark of divine favor. And therefore, without fear, you can seek the Lord. These people of Gibeon had learned some very valuable truths about the Lord. Verse 9 and verse 10 make that clear. Not only so, they believed what they had heard. Not only that, they took the message seriously and they fled from wrath to come. Those are all positive and wonderful things. The fact is, they should have recognized that the cause of judgment was sin, and they should have thrown themselves on the mercy of the Lord in the assurance that no one who ever has done that or ever will do that can be turned away. Take the case of Ahab, one of the wickedest sinners the Israelites ever produced. And I'm not suggesting that Ahab came to be genuinely saved. I would have very grave doubts on that score. But Ahab was under immediate sentence of judgment. And as soon as he heard it, he changed his way. And we read, Ahab went softly. I remember preaching in that text many, many years ago, the man who went to hell in carpet slippers. He went softly. He didn't change the way he was going, but he went softly. And even that fact, the fact that he changed his life to some extent, was something the Lord took notice of, and for that reason did not visit immediate judgment upon him. How keen, if I could put it that way, how keen the Lord is to note every motion, every desire, even however small, in the hearts of men to get right with him. The devil would have you believe, you know, that God is standing with a heavy frown and a big stick and ready just to clobber you every time. And he's ready to come down. And because your faith is not perfect faith and your repentance is not perfect repentance, and you wonder even if in your repenting if your heart is not deceiving you, that God is ready to come down on top of you. My friend, nothing could be further from the truth. The Lord is standing, as it were, with open arms. The Lord is welcoming of every sign of softness of heart and interest in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free. at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.